The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. And if you'd like to follow it in your pew Bible, it's on page 1051. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sheila. Hello, everybody. Good to see you all. I've had a good week, my first week here. It's funny, when you say, you know, at the beginning of a service, you say, if you're new, you know, please do say hello to somebody. Well, I'm with you as well. I'm also new. So, but I've had a really good week. It's been great to see what goes on in the life of the church a little bit this week. Unfortunately, we've had a bit of poorliness in our house, so Beck's at home with a cold. Anwen's had a cold and a tummy ache and been off school, and so there's been lots of tissues and snottiness around our house, unfortunately. So this afternoon, we were supposed to be inviting you all to our house. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that because you don't want to come into our house. I mean, we want to share things with you, you know, as a family, with our church family, but we don't want to share our germs. So we're going to postpone it till next week, if that's okay. I think I've got a meeting at 1. So rather than doing 2 till 5, which is what we're going to do this afternoon, if we could do 3 till 5 or 3 till 6 next week, that would be ideal. If you know anybody who's planning on coming this afternoon who's not here, if you could message them or phone them, that would be great. Don't know how many people we'll get who just turn up. That's fine. I can make them a cup of tea, but we'll do it next week if that's all right. But it's been great this week, and it's great to get to know you. And so I had my first 9 o'clock service, and I suppose this is my first 10:45 service that I've ever been to, and it's great to be here. 3 points that I want to make about this morning's passage. It's probably familiar to quite a lot of you. It's sort of thing you might have learnt at Sunday school or, you know, in a children's Bible, because it's a popular story. But 3 points. First one is about gratitude, and that's probably the obvious thing that you'd get from this reading. And then the second and third, yes, they are, well, as far as I know, they were made up words. I thought I'd made them up, but apparently they do exist. Ian's done his research, and these words do exist. So deligion is the second point, and the third point is rehumanize. And hopefully, by the time I get to the end of my talk, those words and what they mean will become a little bit clearer. So let's start by talking about gratitude. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you get the passage that we've had this morning of the healing of the 10 lepers, there's a really obvious message that comes out of it, isn't it? And it's a great one because you want to teach children about saying thank you and about remembering their manners. So that's really important. And so that's the obvious thing out of this reading, isn't it? Jesus heals 10 people. One of them comes back and says, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing me." And of course, that's the good one, the one that recognized that something had been done for him and went and said thank you. And that's a really good message, and it's there very obviously in this reading. It's an important message. I think it's a really important one. Because my eldest is now 11, I've had 11 years of trying to teach children manners. If anybody knows the secret to this, if they could tell me, I'd be grateful, and I'd say thank you, because that's what I try and teach my children to do. But I wonder how many times I've had to remind them to say please or thank you, because you do it over and over again. You think, surely, finally they'll get it. And they do for a little while, and then they forget again. You have to say, what do you say, and da-da-da, and teach them. In fact, I found that Ted, who's only 2, who's not here today because he's at home with Mummy, Ted, who's 2, he seems to have picked up his manners really well. He says please and thank you for anything. The other day, a few weeks ago, I was putting him to bed in his cot, so I'd done a little story with him and a song and a prayer, and I kind of led him down in his cot, and I was just creeping out of the room, praying that he'd stay asleep, that he wouldn't say, "Daddy, Daddy, get me out," or anything, and it all was quiet. And then I heard this little noise as he lifted up his head and just said, "Thank you, Daddy," and then put his head down again. And I was in shock. So he's saying thank you for me butting him in his cot and telling him to go to sleep. But I'm not sure that that'll stay. I'm imagining, you know, when he's 6 and 9 and 16, I'll still have to be saying, "Remember to say please, remember to say thank you." And I think actually we're like that, aren't we, as well? We need to be reminded to be grateful for the good things we've got. I think it's something within our culture, within British culture and society, whereby we're very good at moaning and complaining, aren't we? It's kind of what we do. It's part of being British. So we like to have a good whinge and a good moan. And actually, this can be really damaging, I think. If we can kind of spiral into this place where all we're focused on is the things that have gone wrong, the things that are frustrating us, the things that, you know, that are broken. Our dishwasher's broken at the moment, and that's on my mind a lot. And, you know, I could moan about that, or, you know, that we've had lots of colds and flus this week. Or I can decide to have an attitude of gratitude, and I can think about the things that I'm thankful for. And we can all do this, no matter how tough life is at the moment. And for some of us, it might be really tough. I'm sure there are some things that you could be thankful for, some things that you can be grateful for. You can find those things. And if you focus on those things, I'm not saying you ignore the things that are hard, but if you focus on those things that you could be thankful for, it changes your whole perspective on life. And actually, I think it's really important for us as Christians to have an attitude of gratitude, because of course it's connected to worship, isn't it? Worship is essentially giving thanks and praise to God. It's showing God his worth. And when we think about worship, we probably think about the band and music and singing songs of worship. And of course that's really important. And for me, I love music. I love music. It's really part of who I am. So I find it very helpful to be able to express my thanks to God through music and song. But we know, don't we, that worship is so much more than the songs we sing. And as I've spent time this week in the church, coming in and out of this building, I've just been amazed by the amount of worship that goes on, that's expressed through helping people, through serving people, through welcoming those who might otherwise be lonely, and feeding people, and loving those who are perhaps a bit on the margins of society. It's just amazing what goes on in the life of this church during the week. And it's been a real privilege to see that. And all that is worship, of course, because it's a response to God's love. It's an attitude of gratitude that says we're thank you to God for all that he's done, for all that he is, for all that he's doing. And therefore, we're going to serve people. We're going to love people. We're going to welcome people into our building. We're going to go out there and love and serve people. All this is worship. It's giving thanks to God. So that's the first thing, attitude of gratitude. The second is deligion. Now, obviously, I've sort of made up that word, and it's a play on the word religion. Now, there was a culture at the time of Jesus that said that if you suffered from leprosy or any other kind of disease, or if you were disabled in some way, then you were seen as unclean. And so this was true in society at large. And so if you were a leper, you weren't allowed to touch or be near anybody else. If you went into a village or a town, you had to declare yourself to be a leper. You'd have to walk into that village and say, you know, someone with leprosy, I'm a leper and I'm coming through to your village, so that people could run off and hide from you. Imagine what that was like for those people, to have to live not only with that terrible disease, but also have to kind of announce that they were coming, and they had to be in their own little communities. They weren't allowed to be in the wider community. So that's why in this story we see 10 of them huddled together, because they couldn't be with anyone else. They were segregated because of their disease, because of what was going on for them. So that was true in society, but it was also true in the religious society. So the way that the temple was set up would be that you had the Holy of Holies in the middle, and that was a special place where God was, and only one special priest could go there at a certain time of the year, wearing certain types of clothes, having done certain types of preparation and made certain types of sacrifice. Then that priest was allowed to go and make the offering to God. And then there was the next place out where the sort of religious leaders were allowed in, because they were seen as clean and pure and holy. And then there was another area where maybe some men could come, but women couldn't. And then there'd be another area, and so on and so on. And it was pushing people out and saying, you're not allowed in. It was disconnecting people from God. Now, the interesting thing about the word religion is that it's connected to what we have, the word ligament. So religion, re-ligament, which is connecting tissue that we have in our bodies, our ligaments. So to religion is about reconnecting or about making connections. And so we have the image of a bridge. You know, this, and in fact, religion, the root of the word religion, it means bridge. It's about a connection between people and God, because that's what happens within religion. It's about reconnecting. It's interesting that over the past 5 to 10 years, I've noticed that the word religion has kind of been seen in a negative way. And people say, oh, you don't want religion. What you want is relationship with God, which is true. But what people mean by that is not, they don't mean you don't want religion. They mean you don't want deligion. They don't want you. We can sometimes set up these practices and these ways of worshipping and these ways of having our religion that disconnects people from God. And we can be guilty of that. And we need to watch that, because actually what we're meant to do is connect people, not disconnect people. And this goes really deep down into who Jesus is and into the roots of our faith. Because, of course, Jesus came, you might remember from the old tracts, the thing of having the cross in between the bridge. So there's a separation from us and God. And Jesus' cross comes and makes that connection between the bridge so that we are reconnected. We are religion. We are reconnected with Jesus. With God through Jesus, because there was a disconnection because of our sin, but because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are reconnected with him. So that's really important to our understanding of faith. And it goes further than that, of course, because what happens through Jesus' resurrection is that heaven and earth are being reconnected. So we say, don't we, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. What we're beginning to see through Jesus' resurrection and through him being alive in us, in his church, is a reconnection between heaven and earth. So when we come together to worship, we see heaven touching earth. When we feed the hungry, we see heaven touching earth. When we do justice, when we love, when we show mercy, we see heaven and earth being reconnected. That is our religion. That is what we're about. That is what God is about, reconnecting heaven and earth, reconnecting people and God. So whenever we see our practices as a church, as how we do church or how we live out our faith, if ever we see this making a disconnect, if ever we're pushing people away because they're a different type of person or because for whatever reason, if we're pushing people away, then we are doing the opposite of religion. We are doing deligion. And of course, Jesus is about making connections, about religion, not disconnect. So that's the second thing. We need to make sure we're about religion, not deligion. The third point, rehumanize. Another kind of made-up word, which is a play on the word, of course, to dehumanize. When we see somebody as less than a human being because of something that's happened to them or because of our view of them. So we have this on two different levels in this morning's reading, because we have the lepers, who are known as their status because of the disease that they have, rather than because they're human beings made in the image of God and loved by God. Instead, they've got this label on them as lepers, so therefore they're pushed aside, they're made to be separate, they're dehumanized. But we also have the fact that the man that comes back, the one that comes back to says, thank you, not only is he a leper, or was he a leper, but actually he's a Samaritan. And this is pointed out strikingly in the reading, because those who were reading it, a lot of them would have been Jews, and they saw the Samaritans as kind of less pure than them. They thought, as Jews, we have a direct connection to Abraham, our father, but the Samaritans don't, because they came out of a sort of mixed race that came through the exile. And so these people were dehumanized. They were seen as less than human. They were seen by their status. Essentially, it was racism. They were seen not as being purebloods. They were seen as something different. And we dehumanize people today too. It's not just something that happened then. So these two men, for example, when we look at them, we have, because we know all kinds of information about the kind of things that they say, the kind of people they are, their publicity, and what the media says about them, we find it quite hard to see them as human beings made in the image of God and loved by God. Now, partly this is their own fault. They've set themselves up as kind of caricatures, haven't they? It's almost like they're the baddie in a pantomime, or depending on your views, maybe they're a goodie, I don't know. But they're seen as these characters, and because of that, it's hard for us to see them as human beings, loved by God, made in the image of God. They've been dehumanized. And that's kind of part of their own doing, isn't it? That's how they set themselves up. But interestingly, this follows on, because if you know somebody who is a UKIP supporter, then the dehumanizing happens to them as well, because no longer are they just a fellow human being. No, they're a UKIP supporter. You know, they're seen as less than human. They're seen as a certain type of person because you don't agree with what they have, what they believe and what they follow. And sadly, this happens also in the church. Maybe some people make mistakes, or maybe some people do things that we don't agree with, or they have views that are different to our own. And we can label them as that type of person, as that person that did that, or that person who thinks this, or that person who worships in a different way than us. And in doing that, we dehumanize them. And not only is this a bad thing on just kind of a normal level of how we treat each other as human beings, this goes against who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. Because we know, don't we, that we are made in the image of God. And when Jesus came to earth, God became human. So what we have is a rehumanizing of God, because for us it's hard to relate to kind of an invisible deity that's just kind of above there somewhere, but we have God in human flesh, in the flesh that we all walk in and have to live in each day. Jesus comes in that body and says, I am one with you. And he suffers, of course, and he dies, and he rises again. And the interesting thing is that when he rises again and he comes back to see the disciples, he is not a kind of floating disembodied spirit. He is a human body. He's human flesh. He says, touch my scars, feel my scars. He eats food with them. All to say that he is human. Sometimes, and in lots of religions, the main aim of the religion is to get rid of your flesh and your body so that you can float away up to heaven, nirvana, wherever, and be this kind of spirit, because the flesh is bad, but the spirit is good. Earth is bad, heaven is good. But Jesus turns all that around. Jesus comes to earth in the flesh, and through his resurrection, he brings heaven to earth. That's ultimately where we're heading. We're not heading to a kind of disembodied place where we float away and play harps with the angels. We're not destined for there. We're destined for the new heaven and new earth that will exist here on the earth, when all things will be made new, when there will be no more suffering or death or disease or illness or sin. That's where we're heading. That's the reconnection that Jesus makes, a connection between heaven and earth. So it's a great affirmation of our humanity. Jesus is saying it's a good thing to be human. And yes, this side of the new heaven and earth, we are stuck with all kinds of problems and issues to do with sin, to do with disease that's in our body, to do with, you know, the diseases that ravish our body and kill our loved ones and make them suffer and all that we see. But actually, ultimately, we will be resurrected into new bodies. We will be made new, and that reconnection will happen. And we see again and again this affirmation of what it means to be human. So those are the three points this morning. The first one being about an attitude of gratitude, living a life of worship that gives thanks to God, that counts our blessings and sees the good things in our lives. About deligion, and rather we need religion. We need to be making connections between ourselves and other peoples, connections between ourselves and God, making sure that we're not pushing people away. And thirdly, to rehumanize, to see the beauty and dignity of all people, to recognize that being a human being is a fantastic thing that we are called to be, that Jesus shows us how to do it right and that we are to follow him. And of course, all this, just as the story is, all this comes from Jesus, the one whom we worship, the one whom we are thankful to and for, the one who reconnects us with God and with each other, and will ultimately reconnect heaven and earth. We're going to worship again in a minute, so I'd like to invite the band up. But why don't we all stand, and I'll pray for us as we move into another time of worship. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this passage. We thank you, God, that you are the one who heals. That you said to these lepers to go and show yourselves to the priests because you wanted to turn around this religious system that pushed people away, that was more about disconnect than reconnect with God. We thank you, Jesus, that for that one man that came back to say thank you and to worship you. And we want to be like him. We want to give you thanks. We want to recognize the good things in our lives. And for those of us here who are really struggling at this time, would you help us to recognize the good things in our lives and to be thankful for them? Would you change our attitude to one of gratitude? And Lord, we want to repent for the times when we have dehumanized people, particularly when we've done that within the church, when we've seen people who are different from us or who have done things that we don't agree with, and we've seen them as less than your sons and daughters. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to see them for who they are, made in your image. And Lord, we pray that we could be part of this reconnection between heaven and earth, that you'd call us to be your people who bring heaven to earth, who see that happening now, knowing in faith that we will see it in completion in the new heaven and new earth when you come back to be with us, when you draw all things to yourself, when you renew all things, that day when there will be no more sickness and no more sin and no more death. Lord, we long for that day, but we don't sit around idly and wait. We work for it now. Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen.